Hey, just like to welcome all those people that are watching online tonight. Hundreds, I'm assuming. Maybe thousands. Just invite them into the service. And I just trust you've been singing the hymns and praying the prayers and being part of the service. So it's good we have this connection. I want to speak to you tonight on mustard seed faith. Mustard seed faith. I'll start by going through some of the scriptures that mention mustard seeds. And I believe there's four. So we'll look at those. You don't have to go there if you don't wish to. I'll just go from one to the other. So the first one that we're going to look at, and so we're starting off looking at scripture, is Matthew 17, 20 to 21. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And verse 21 says, howbeit, this kind goeth out but by prayer and fasting. And then we switch to Matthew 13, 31 to 32. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. A similar passage, Mark 4, 30 to 32. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And then the last reading is Luke 13, 18 and 19. Then saith he unto, what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. So there's the scriptural verses, or the verses from the scriptures that talk about mustard seeds. So now we need to look at what Wikipedia says. So this is what Wikipedia says. It's very interesting, by the way. Wikipedia says mustard seeds are small, round seeds of various mustard plants. The seeds are usually about 1 to 2 millimetres in diameter and may be coloured from yellowish white to black. They are an important spice in many regional foods and may come from one of three different plants: black mustard, brown Indian mustard, and white or yellow mustard. Grinding and mixing the seeds with water or vinegar or other liquids creates a yellowish condiment known as prepared mustard. But then it went on to say this. In the Bible, Jesus tells the parable of the mustard seed, referring to faith and the kingdom of God. There, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on the earth, Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, which with such big branches that birds can perch in its shade. That's very nice of Wikipedia to put that in. So let's summarise what we know now about mustard seeds. We're told that the mustard seed is small in physical size. Now, some say the smallest, but that's not exactly accurate. It's a small seed. If nurtured, it will become the largest of herbs. Not like oak trees or gum trees, but herbs. It's large enough for birds to settle in its branches, and it's a condiment of three different colours. You can all go home now. You've learnt all about mustard seeds. Well then, if the message is mustard seed faith, we've now got to look at faith to add on to the mustard seeds. I'm going back to Wikipedia first, and then I'll go to the scriptures. Wikipedia says, faith derived from the Latin fides and the old French feed, is confidence or trust in a person, thing or concept. The context of religion, one can define faith as confidence or trust in a particular system or religious belief. So that's what Wikipedia says about faith. So now I'm going to reverse it and look at what the scriptures say. And if you want to look up Hebrews 11, 1 to 6, we'll read through six verses. So it's probably worth looking at and seeing it with your own eye. Hebrews 11, 1 to 6. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You notice it says evidence or proof of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Wasn't the Big Bang Theory? They were framed by the word. God spoke and the world came into existence. So that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, God did the whole thing from nothing or with nothing. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, in other words, that God exists, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that's a biblical definition of faith. And I'm sure we're all familiar with that, and I'm sure we all fully understand it. Well, what then is mustard seed faith? We put the three words together. And I'd like to read to you an account from this book that I have in my hand. It's only 2 pages long, so I think we can get through it. But it will give you a little hint on what mustard seed faith is all about. The book is called, the chapter 4 is called The Teacher and the Book. It starts off with 2 verses of scripture. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, 1 Timothy 1:18. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. 1 Timothy 6:12. It was a good Bible class for boys in our old Presbyterian Sunday school because we had a goodly little woman as our teacher. Yes, even as a carefree youth of 15. So just think, if you're 15, this was the age that that Bible class was teaching, boys. I was glad to find myself in her class because I admired her more than any other teacher in the school. Miss Laura E. Walters was little in stature, but she had a big heart, a bright face, and a boundless interest in her boys. She was well into middle life. What does that mean? Over 40? She's still a miss. It's all right, got a fun place. So she was well into middle life when I came under her influence. And yet in some strange way, she imparted impressionable blessings to my young heart, of which the greatest was a book given to me by her hand about New Year's Day 1912. What happened in 1912? Major disaster in 1912. Yes? Yeah. The Titanic sunk. Should all know that. The Titanic sunk. The ship that couldn't sink. Even God could not sink the ship. Same year. This is the same year. And he's 15. Some little time before the end of 1911, the Sunday school faced up to a special decision day. To Miss Walters, it must have closed in deep gloom with a dire disappointment day. She had hoped great things for her faithful teaching to those teenage boys, and lo, one by one, they refused to decide for Christ. Truly, it was the scripture fulfilled. They all with one consent began to excuse. Luke 14:18. Tears rolled down her saddened face, the saddened face of the saintly teacher. Touched by those teens, one boy dared to question, "Why are you crying, Miss Walters?" "Ah," she replied, "you boys treat it so lightly, and it's the most important thing in life to decide for Christ." 1912. But Miss Walters protested the boy, who was destined to weep over souls himself in distant days. "I mean to be a soldier. And how can a soldier be a Christian?" "Why, Jack, of course you can. Have you never read of Hedley Vicars, the Christian hero of the Crimean War?" I had never heard of him. "No, I have not heard of him," he said. "Well, I shall try to procure you his story. I think it's still available." So passed the disappointing decision day, but Miss Walters was not defeated. Just before New Year's Day 1912, I received a book, Memorials of Captain Hedley Vicars, 97th Regiment. In one inscription as follows, to Jack Ridley, with all good wishes from his teacher, Laura E. Walters, for the year 1912, with the verses 1 Timothy 1:18 and 6:12. It was one of the great gifts of my lifetime, one of the moulding influences of my young manhood, one of the choice companions of my early pilgrimage. I have read it time and time again, and always with refreshment to my soul. If it did not bring me to Christ, it helped along the road of the wicked gate. I don't understand that, but wicked gate. And once I came to him, It proved of untold value in its great lessons of Christian life in the army. It is one of God's own books with the seal of the Holy Spirit upon its pages. And to me, it stands out as a milestone of mercy and on the narrow way that leads to life. I bless the Lord for Hedley Pickus. Years later, after severe wounding in France, I visited my teacher at a little English village in Norfolk. It was night when I arrived, and Miss Walters directed me to a clean but dimly lit attic room for the night. On awakening next morning, bright sunlight was streaming through the window, along with the morning songs of many birds. Peace seemed to pervade the room, and it spread its perfume over my heart. Then, and only then, I noticed a text card on the wall near the little window. For me to live is Christ. Ah, that was the secret of my teacher's life. And that was the secret also of that wonderful book. Yes, that was the secret spring of the splendid witness of Captain Hedley Pickus. And also the motive power of St. Paul, Paul's apostolic life and labours. Truly it was a triumphant secret. Could I not make it mine? And then he finishes every chapter with a verse or a poem or a song. For me, be it Christ hence to live. If Jordan above me shall roll, no pain shall be mine, for death as in life, thou wilt whisper sweet peace to my soul. Can you imagine that Sunday school teacher teaching for the whole year, 15-year-old boys, and then comes Decision Sunday? She's probably expecting each one of them to make a decision for the Lord, but none of them do. What does that do to her faith? Well, she had the faith of a mustard seed. So would you say that Walters had the faith of a mustard seed? I think we have to say yes. And I was just thinking when I read that, when we moved to Bendigo, it was 4.5 years ago, we had no doubt. We had just that little mustard seed faith that God would look after us when we came here. He did, and he has, and he will. And I'm sure that if we were to go around the room, each one of us would have a mustard seed faith story that we could tell that would be a blessing to us. So what I'm going to do is have another sip of water because my plate makes my mouth really dry. Pastor Wenham said when he would go from church to church, he said the water in the pulpit had things swimming in it. So he said he learnt to preach a message without drinking water. Ours don't have anything swimming in it. So let's go back to Matthew 17:21. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. How many mountains have you moved to another place this week? I was teaching this lesson in Sunday school. I must have been 17, I think, and one of the boys said to me, do you believe you could move a mountain? And I said, yes, I do. I wasn't saved. I said, yes, I do, but only if God wanted me to move a mountain. So think about that. So we're not really good at mountain moving. It also says that nothing will be impossible unto us. Has everybody found that everything's possible? Whatever you want to do, you just do it. I don't find that in my life. But God wants us to be faithful and trust in His faith. Now, that brings us to the question, can God move mountains? Can God move mountains? With God are all things possible. It's different, isn't it, when you look at it from that point of view? I'm reminded of a hymn or a chorus, and I won't sing it to you for obvious reasons. It says, nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His word. Hearken to the voice of God to thee. Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His word. For everything, oh, everything, yes, everything is possible with God. Anybody know that hymn? Yeah? A couple of hands. Don't worry, it's too late now to put your hand up. But there are two conditions in this hymn or chorus. I don't know whether you picked them up or not, but there's two conditions. One of them was put your trust in God. And then parallel to that was put your trust in God alone. That makes it a bit different, doesn't it? Anyone can put their trust in God, but to cut all the other things out and say, I'm trusting the Lord God only, that's a mustard seed faith, isn't it? That's a mustard seed faith. The other one was trust in His word. And the parallel to that was rest upon His word. You know, we all have this book. If I was to dig through the boxes in my study room, I've probably got 10, 12 of these. I've got the one that I was given on my 21st birthday. I've got a, I'm trying to think of it now. It's all right, it'll come. Anyway, it doesn't matter, it's gone. One of those, it's a red covered Amplified Bible. I've got in fact, Robin and I got our wedding dates out of the Amplified Bible. Now, would you just turn that off? No, from an Amplified Bible. But that's what I was reading at the time, so please excuse me for that. But not only did it say to trust in His word, it said to rest. Just rest. Isn't it nice to rest? Isn't that lovely just to rest? But we're to rest upon His word. That takes a bit of something, doesn't it? God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Now, that's not my quote. I'm quoting someone else. Someone said, it doesn't matter whether you believe it, God said it, and that settles it. But I still like to put the I believe in it. God said it, I believe it, and that settles the matter. So how do I exercise my mustard seed faith? How do I go about exercising it? Well, I've got four verses in two passages. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Now, I'm sure you've never heard those verses. They are so new to you. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I'm sure nobody has ever heard of those verses. There's nothing new. God has nothing new. It's always the way it's been, and it's always recorded in here. The second two verses are Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. And again, you've never heard these verses. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And I've got 7 points of summary out of those four verses. And then, so I'm going to read them to you, and then we'll look at them individually. Trust in the Lord for everything. Trust in the Lord for everything. Don't rely on my or your understanding or feelings. Acknowledge God in everything. Allow God to direct my or your paths. God's mercy will not allow us to be consumed. God's mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. So they're the 7 points that I got out of those 4 verses. And I'd like to share a little bit more depth with you on those. So here we go. Trust in the Lord for everything. What does that mean? Trust in the Lord for everything. Well, I've written down not only the big things. Sometimes we want to trust God for the big things. Things like, who should I marry? Ooh, that's a big thing. What job should I have? That's a big thing. Where should I live? What church should I be part of? They're things that I really need to come before the Lord and get his understanding on. Very important. But what about trusting the Lord to drive to work or the shops? When we get in the car, oh, I'm taking over now, ha ha. Lord, you can just leave. I'm going to drive to the shops or to work or wherever I'm going. How many of you pray for a parking spot? Now, in Bendigo, it's a bit harder to pray for a parking spot because there's so many. But in Sydney, you do a lot of praying for parking spots. What about safety? Do we pray and ask the Lord for safety as we travel? Just a little thing. What about the way I treat other people? Do I bring those things to the Lord God for his discretion? Trust the Lord for everything. Don't rely on my or your understanding or feelings. If I feel something is right, but it's contrary to God's revealed word, don't do it. Oh, but I just have this peace. I have this feeling that it's the right thing to do, but it's contrary to God's word. Just don't do it. Don't do it. If I think I understand something, I think I understand that. Why don't you get a second opinion? Because you could be understanding something that you've put a bias in. What about giving God reasonable time? I remember Andrew coming home saying, I've given the Lord 3 months to convince me I shouldn't move to Bendigo. Now, I don't know where he got that time frame from, but he didn't say, I've given the Lord 3 hours, or I've given the Lord 5 years. He said, I've given him 3 months to convince me I should move to Bendigo. Don't rush into decisions. Just take your time, allow the Spirit of God to minister. These are these mustard seed faith decisions. Acknowledge God in everything. Do you have an area in your life that you've shut God out of? Is there some area in your life? Driving is probably one of those that seems to be for young people. I was young once. And I probably did all the things that you do today, and I didn't get caught. But now I've I've matured a little bit. Well, maybe some people would say a lot. But is there some area that we say, look, you know, I'll go to church on Sunday and I'll go to prayer meeting occasionally, but that area, oh no, you can't have anything to do with that area. It's all right, I'm just catching up. What about child raising? I've got a few examples here. Child raising. Look, I don't... I'll just believe Dr. X and I'll raise my children according to Dr. X or Dr. Y. I remember hearing a story, and I think I've told it before, a lady wrote a book on child raising. She had her first child and she revised the book. She had her second child and revised the book again. When she had a third child, she suggested the book should be withdrawn. Because you can't write books on child raising. There is some good suggestions in here. What about marriage? Do we acknowledge God in our marriage? What about YouTube or TV watching? Now, you can watch those things in private, and probably no one will ever know. But what do we do? Have we cut God out of our lives? How to drive? What to buy? Where to go? Is God included in everything? What about allowing God to direct your or my paths? I couldn't think of a better verse than Psalm 119:105, which says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Be reading some of God's word every day so that God can direct me or you daily. So if we want to claim that verse, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path," then we need to be reading God's word every day so that God can direct us every day. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And if you were to travel around Bendigo tonight, not that there are too many services on tonight, I'm sure that as you were listening to the preacher preach, you'd start thinking, that's not biblical, that's not scriptural, that's not true. Because a lot of preachers are not dividing the word of God truthfully. So if we want to allow God to direct our paths, then we need to listen when God's word is preached. We need to study the Bible as we can. We need to read it. I say every day, but that's up to you. We need to memorize portions of Scripture. And to meditate on God's written word. Then we'll be in a position to rightly divide the word of God. And then we've got two more to go. God's mercy will not allow us to be consumed. This is a really good verse. A really good verse. Once saved, always saved. Because we're in God's hand. John 10:29 says, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Once you're a born-again believer, you're in the hand of God. And if he needs to close his fingers to protect you, he will. If he needs to open his hand to give you some freedom, he will. But nobody can get you if you're in God's hand. God's mercies are new every morning. Now, we all know that God's mercies are 24/7. we don't have to wait till 6 o'clock in the morning to have God be merciful to us. His mercies are there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But you know, God gives us a new day every morning. When that sun comes up, it's a new day. It's a new page. It's a blank page. And God and I, or God and you, can fill that page in. And His mercies are new every morning. And the last, so what I've done is I've just got those same points, but I just like to go through them this way with you. Great is His faithfulness. That's the last point, isn't it? Yes, all right. Great is His faithfulness. If you're a child of the living God, then you have these things. You have the greatest God that ever lived. You have the greatest book that was ever written. You have the greatest Saviour that died for your sins. You have the greatest advocate possible. In this church, we have the greatest pastor that we could have. We have the greatest church, deacons, Sunday school, primary age group, young people's groups, mothers and seniors. And we have great friends. That's just here. That's just here. And this is just a sample of mustard seed faith. Need to have a conclusion, so let's have a conclusion. We're told that a mustard seed is very small in physical size. If it's nurtured, it will become the largest of the herbs, large enough for birds to settle in its branches. And it's a condiment of three different colours. The context of religion, one can define faith as confidence or trust in a particular system or religious belief. We would put it, putting your trust in God alone, trusting and resting in His word. We can put it this way: trust in the Lord for everything, don't rely on my own understanding or feelings, acknowledge God in everything, allow God to direct my paths. God's mercy will not allow me to be consumed. God's mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. And we need to remember Miss Laura Walters, the Sunday school teacher of John G. Ridley, MC. I don't know whether you know that MC means military cross. I'll get there in a minute. She would not let up on her Sunday school student, but exercised her mustard seed faith and brought him a book. Her persistence allowed him to be led to the Lord at a later date in life. John Ridley has been described as one of Australia's greatest evangelists and preachers of the second coming of Christ. He served in both world wars, and throughout his life he was constantly affected by a near-fatal injury received at the Battle of Fromelles in World War I. But as a Sunday school teacher, Miss Laura E. Walters exercised her mustard seed faith and would not let him go. I wonder how many faithful Sunday school teachers are responsible for the salvation of many saved individuals. As a challenge for all of our leaders. Mustard seed faith is mustering up whatever faith you have left, trusting the Lord God of heaven, and getting on with the Christian life. It's mastering God's word at whatever stage of the Christian life you are at. It's taking the smallest of seeds and nurturing it into the largest herb or bush, tree. It's simple, but it's active faith. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that tonight we've been able to look at mustard seed faith. I don't know that anybody has any better understanding of what it means than when they came in tonight. But we know it's trusting the Lord. We know it's trusting in His Word. We know that it's exercising whatever faith we've got and getting on with life. I ask now that we'll be blessed as we finish the service, as we talk about this message, as we think about it, pray about it on our way home. And I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.